And
Let's
welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
We're back, boys.
Baby. We've got a great episode for you today, but how have you been doing, Brayden?
Oh, man, I'm just surviving, you know? I don't mean to be the guy that talks about weather every week, but it's kind of tradition. A little snowy this week, rainy, a little gloomy. I do like the rain, though, so that's fair, but pretty good. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say there's a storm brewing when it comes to college basketball. We'll talk a little bit about that today.
I hope so.
But we've got a lot of good things to talk about. We've got another week of Jazz games, big road trip that we've started.
Yes, sir.
We've got our player of the week, very special. Brayden's going to award that. We've got our upcoming games as we travel to the Sixers, Celtics, Grizzlies, and Raptors, and our predictions about those. And then we're going to give you a tankathon update where the Jazz stand with our draft picks. And because of March Madness, we're going to dive into we're going to start this week with our four guys that you can watch in March Madness. Keep your eyes on for the Jazz.
Yes, and as you know, it's a magical time, so don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. We're going to talk a little today about possible March Madness group we're doing, so you want to stay tuned for those and how you can get in on that. And this is episode 65 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, it looks like you gained some more ground on me on the predictions.
I'm feeling pretty good.
you're about 110 points ahead of me. With just predicting the line and how close these games are.
Yeah.
But the Jazz really, really are not consistent. Like, it's hard to tell, like, if we're going to lose every game in a week or if we're going to do which game's going to be the surprise win. Because usually there's one, right?
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. It could, like, randomly be, like, we lose by a lot to the Wizards and we almost beat the Nuggets or so. It's, like, such a crazy,
What would you say is, like, the biggest surprise last week from the game outcomes?
Well, I would say I'm surprised we got killed by that much from the Pistons. I was not expecting that big of a margin. The other ones don't really surprise me. It's kind of how I would hope it would have gone. Pistons are just rolling right now, so I'm not really mad about it. But
yeah, honestly, like, we lost all four of the games, but losing a game to the Pelicans, Wizards, and Raptors are wins in my book.
Absolutely. Right now,
like,
those are wins.
If you're a Jazz fan, I know it's a hard season. We're at the bottom of the league, but you should consider these games a win because those teams are, like, breathing right down our neck for those picks. So I would consider this a win. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. Great week for the Jazz. Yeah, maybe we just start at the top. Pelicans, Jazz lose by 7. That game was pretty close, though. I was seeing the score was getting pretty tight there at the end, but Jazz lose by 7, 121-128. What stands out to you, if anything, from that loss?
I'm just, like, surprised. Like, it seems like every game we've got a new starting lineup.
Yep.
Especially it's getting towards the end of the season. The Jazz are kind of just trying stuff now. Some guys are getting hurt, but also that we're just wanting to see what we've got with every player.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot of guys get boosted the starting lineup. So this game, it was kind of cool to see Bryce Sensabaugh was in the starting lineup, and I think a couple games this week he was.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
He played 30 minutes. He played pretty well, I would say as well. So 21 points from him. And then I was also surprised to see Kyle Filipowski and Johnny Juzang play a lot more minutes this week, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess the biggest surprise is probably Oscar Tshiebwe. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, 16-13 this game. 16 points, 13 rebounds. Kind of makes me wonder, seeing that, like, should he be playing more for the Jazz? It makes me wonder. I mean, I know he's really undersized for an NBA center, but he's clearly got some skills. I'm going to put it out there. I think he's better than Kenny Lofton, and Kenny Lofton played a lot last year. So
really? I don't hate it.
So, I don't know, he's pretty good. Keontae had 28-6. Thought that was pretty good performance, Pelicans, but other than that, not much to brag about.
Yeah, I've also been seeing Isaiah Collier's been playing a lot still. He's still been doing well.
Yeah.
If I look at, like, his last five games, he had a really good game against the Wizards, but he's pretty consistent, like, almost double-double guy. So, it's been good to see that from him pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think with him and Keontae, we're just waiting for, you know, they need that experience so they can stop turning the ball over so much, and then I think they're going to be really solid NBA players.
And I think we'll also see who we get in the draft this year. If they're a guard, that's going to kind of scramble things up a lot, because if we don't draft a guard this draft, we kind of want Isaiah and Keontae to be able to play together.
I think so.
In the starting lineup.
Yeah.
If we do draft a guard, then that might be different. So I think what the Jazz might be doing right now is just giving both of those guys, like, 28 or more minutes every game, and they're kind of staggered.
Mm-hmm.
Where if there's 48 minutes in the game, they're both going to be on the floor all the time, one of the two.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of good to see they're both playing pretty well separate, but I don't know how well we can see them play together.
Yeah. I think the Jazz have kind of a dilemma here, because it's like, I do think we've seen some big strides from Colin Sexton too. So then the question becomes, can Colin Sexton come off the bench if we figured out how to play those two guys together?
Yeah, or one of the three needs to get traded.
Yeah, or who do we keep? Like, that's, I think Colin Sexton could be a good piece for us moving forward, but it's also, I don't know, it gets a little murky when you start thinking about the future of our guard rotation, so.
Yeah, how old is Colin Sexton? Because he can't be that old, right?
Yeah. I think he's like year 6 in the NBA, year 7 or something like that.
Yeah, he's only 26.
Okay.
So he's still got a lot of years left.
Yeah,
he's
pretty
solid. With that, he could definitely be, and I think you could argue he's been the best out of the three.
Absolutely.
Or at least most consistent. So it's all pretty close race, so it's kind of interesting to see how the Jazz play him.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
But then we went on from that Pelicans loss, good loss for us. Pistons dominated us. We're playing a lot of former Jazz players this week. Kelly Olynyk was on the Pelicans now, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's wild.
We played Fontecchio and Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
They both did decent. Playing a lot of former Jazz, but tough game for the Jazz again.
Yeah. one bright spot that I see, Kyle Filipowski, 25-8. I think something I'm just really loving, you know, we just talked about Isaiah Collier. Last year, I didn't feel like we saw these type of games from Hendricks and Sensabaugh very often. Like, we didn't like have random games where they showed us their potential. But this year's rookies, other than maybe our top 10 guy.
Shall not be named.
Yeah. Are not really like they're showing up like randomly. They're definitely rookies that need experience, but you know, 25-8 is a good stat line. If he can like learn to put up, you know, even close to that consistently, he could be really solid.
And he shot 4 for 7 from three. Yeah, so he's starting to show he can space the floor.
For an almost 7-footer, that's really good.
Yeah. And I just looked, that's his career high.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And just for fun, what do you think Isaiah Collier's career high is? It's very close.
Ooh, close to 25. I'm going to say it's
higher or lower. How about that?
I'll say higher. Maybe he's got like 28.
23. So Kyle actually has a higher career high.
Dang, okay.
And then maybe just for fun as well, what about Bryce Sensabaugh? What's his career high?
I feel like he's had a 30-point game this year. I could be right, like 32 or something.
34. Oh, I think close. That was this year. So, yeah. I mean, all three of those guys, and then put Keontae in the hat too. They've all been able to show what they can do. So.
Absolutely. Pretty excited. Pistons had 6 guys in double digits, though.
Yeah. What would you say is Cody Williams' career high?
Wizards game, he had 12. Is that his career high?
Dude, 13. Okay. 13. Okay. So he's still got a little bit to go.
That's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Well, that takes us, I guess, to the Wizards game. Jazz lose by 3. Cody Williams had 12 points, even though it's not really going well with Cody Williams, I don't think, but 12 points, he took 9 shots, which I think that's been my main criticism this year, is he seems like scared to shoot. And it's like, why not? If we're playing the Wizards, why don't we just put Cody Williams out there and like let him learn how to hit some shots in the NBA? We'll take 12 points. It's better than 0. Mm-hmm. So anything else stand out to you from Wizards?
Yeah, just everybody sharing the ball. Johnny Juzang at 27. Low key, that is his career high too.
Is it really?
So 7 Filipowski and Juzang both had their career highs this week. Yeah. And then Filipowski had a 23 to follow up his 25. So I would say those guys are just doing great. You know, Johnny Juzang has I think he's proven himself to be a good spacer.
Absolutely.
Like it reminds me of Georges Niang, how he kind of didn't have a place in the NBA until he was on the Jazz and knocked down threes. Now he's on he's been on the Cavs, he's been on the Sixers. He's pretty much got a spot wherever. And I think Juzang's probably going to be the same way, where he didn't really have a spot in the NBA until he got to the Jazz. And now I think every team will take a Johnny Juzang off their bench if he can hit shots like this.
I feel like the Jazz have become really good at that. You think the list of guys, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, Simone Fontecchio, like all these guys were just like training camp guys, you know, summer league guys that all of a sudden turned into NBA starters. It seems
like there's a guy every couple years that he comes to the Jazz as nothing, he leaves as like a rotational player.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So I guess Juzang's that guy now.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, and I mean, everywhere else, I wouldn't say pretty normal games for everybody else, just highlight Juzang and Filipowski.
Yeah.
And just kind of realize that some of our guys are out here and there, whether it's injuries or just resting.
Yeah, or tanking. I mean, but we're not going to say that. We won't say that part out loud. It's, of course, it's injuries, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Last game of the week against the Raptors.
Yep.
This was a historic game for Walker Kessler.
Yes, it was. Wow.
Yeah.
Unreal. 18 points, 25 rebounds, 8 blocks. So that's a career high in rebounds and blocks for Walker Kessler.
Crazy.
Other than that, really nobody stands out, but wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, if you watch this game, you're pretty much just in awe of Walker Kessler, and then that's about it. Yeah. Like everything else was just kind of normal.
Yeah, I was listening to David Locke last week, and he was talking about how like Walker Kessler's become really good at exploiting matchups. And he talks about how like whenever you see Kessler playing like the Jokic's or the Wembys of the NBA, he really struggles. But against like most other centers, he knows how to like exploit, you know, differences. And so this was definitely that game. I don't think the Raptors have a solid center. Poeltl didn't play this game. I don't even know if he would
normally be their guy. They had AJ Lawson or Orlando Robinson.
So he took advantage. That's what you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't think, now that Olenek's gone, I don't even think I saw OJ Agbaji play.
Yeah, I didn't even see him on the stat sheet at all. I wonder if he's...
Yeah.
I wonder what the deal there is.
So I wonder what's up with him. But yeah, honestly, this game, I think the only real takeaway is just Walker Kessler's a beast. And there's nothing really else we have to talk about. That's really it.
Yeah, well, that pretty easily takes us to our player of the week. I want to give a shout out to Oscar Tshiebwe. Good for him for taking advantage. Also, Kyle Filipowski, 20-plus point games.
Yep.
Both those guys honorable mentions this week, but historical game from Walker Kessler. I think it's a slam dunk. Back-to-back weeks. I think he deserves it. Good for him for bouncing back from that rough season he had last year. I know we already talked about this last week, but just really impressed. I hope that he's still a piece moving forward for the Jazz and not just something we're going to shop soon. So,
amen. And I think that's impressive for him to win it with just 2 out of 5 games played.
Yeah, absolutely.
just because he was so great in that last game, and he definitely deserves it. So
definitely.
That puts him up to the most on the team for player of the week. So he's got like 5 now.
Yeah, that's hype.
Shout out to Walker.
Yep.
And then our Tankathon update. That was, of course, a great week for us for Tankathon.
Great week.
But we are still behind Washington and Charlotte for the number 1 and 2 spots. Yeah. But we still have the same odds as them. As long as we're in the bottom 3, got 14% chance at the number 1 pick. But Charlotte's on a 9-game losing streak.
Horrible.
They might catch Washington.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
They're only a game and a half back right now.
Yeah, we let Washington beat us, so that helped them out a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Jazz are, I think we're in a good spot. We're in a better spot than we were last week. New Orleans is now 2 games behind us. Toronto's now 6 games behind us.
Mm-hmm. They both won 5 out of the last 10.
So. Yeah, and we're only half a game above Charlotte. or behind Charlotte, sorry. Yeah, so I'm feeling pretty good. We just got to keep, as sad as it sounds, we got to keep losing. We're almost there.
And I mean, we have a harder schedule than I think they do. So
I think so, yeah.
That'll help us lose some games.
Should be good. All right, so we have 4 games this week.
Let's go.
I think we're finishing off our long road trip we're on. But these are some bigger games this week. Starting off on Sunday, tomorrow, as the day recording this, we play the Sixers, who are kind of struggling with some injuries. But what are you feeling? How are the Jazz chances, do you think?
Seeing as we have been, the starting lineup's been changing every week, I think we're trying to lose games.
Yeah.
I think we could lose this one, lose by 4, I'm going to say. Okay. So I think it's still going to be a close game. Sixers haven't been that good this year either.
I can see it, yeah. I have a personal policy that I have to pick a win every week. And I think this one's going to be it. It's just a gut feeling. Sixers are just pretty bad right now. It feels like they're just like really in disarray with all the injuries and whatever else is going on with Paul George. It doesn't seem like it's working out. But I'm going to say Jazz win by 3. I think it'll be close.
Okay.
We'll give the Jazz one win. I think they're on a losing skid, so we'll pick one up.
Yeah, that'll be a much easier win than the next day, Monday, on the road against the Celtics.
Yeah. Oh, man. Juggernauts.
Yeah, this one might be a tough game. What do you think for that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big loss. I'm swinging for the fences here, but I'm going to say loss by 15. I think,
okay.
I think they're going to kill us. I'm probably low on that estimate, but I'll play it safe a little, I guess.
I am going to say you're low on that estimate. I'm going to say lose by 20.
Oh, okay.
I'm swinging a little bit more for the fences than I normally do. Yeah. It's kind of a big margin, but I think the Celtics will take care of business.
Yeah, they're so good. Matchup-wise, that's a tough one for us, too. So, then Wednesday, we kind of conclude our road trip by playing in Memphis against the Grizzlies. They're also pretty hot. They were second in the West. I think Lakers are second now, but...
Yeah, Desmond Bane's been playing well. John Morant's kind of been medium this year.
He's in and out of the lineup, depending on the night.
Jackson's been really good.
Yeah, solid. So what are you feeling about this game?
Yeah, I think the Grizzlies are just on a hot streak. I think they're going to take care of us. They'll win by 13.
Ooh, okay.
That's what I'll say. Not as big of a margin as the Celtics, but I think they're still going to take care of it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I said Jazz lose by 11.
Okay.
I think it'll be... Could be a solid game. I think it'll be similar to the games we've had this week, where it's like maybe we keep it close at halftime or till the third quarter or something. And then they pull away because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how Walker Kessler does in his matchup if he plays with Jaren Jackson. I think it's going to be
a tough one.
And Zach Edey. I keep forgetting about Zach Edey. Yeah. And then we finally come home. It feels like we've been on the road forever. Play the Raptors again. We played them this last week. What are you feeling? Do you think we'll lose again?
I think since we're going to be at home, we got more of an advantage that way.
Okay.
And we got a day's break before. I think we can beat the Raptors. Jazz win by 4. That's what I'll say. So still a close game, but I think kind of similar to what you said. I think we can get one win this week. That'll probably be the one I'll predict.
Yeah, I don't hate that. The Raptors are definitely the most beatable team this week. I say Jazz lose. I just think there's extra motivation to lose against teams that are top 5.
That's fair. They might not play everybody in the starting lineup.
This might be a Oscar Shibuya, Micah Potter breakout game or something.
Yeah.
I say Jazz lose by 6. I guess I feel like we're pretty solidly in front of them in Tankathon. I guess we don't have to lose, but we are trying to lose, so why not?
And then just some quick Jazz news. We talked about Oscar Shibuya a little bit already. His career high in the NBA, getting in off the bench. But he also had 30 rebounds against, I think, the Wolves G League team. Pretty insane.
That's wild.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If you got 30 rebounds in a game, that's basically every rebound, isn't it?
I would think so.
Maybe.
Do the Jazz even get 30 rebounds in a normal game?
Is there 30 total rebounds? Yeah, well, I'm sure there is, but there's like 30 for one guy is pretty insane.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So, yeah.
Shout out to him. Where did he go to college again?
He was at Kentucky.
Kentucky.
I think he was a transfer from somewhere else, but I can't remember.
Right.
West Virginia. He was at West Virginia.
Okay.
So former Big 12 guy over in our neck of the woods, I guess.
Yeah, but shout out to him. And then Jaden Springer signs a 3-year deal with the Jazz.
Yes, sir.
We haven't seen a lot of him, but he's pretty good. I don't know. I remember like maybe last season he was on the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
I remember, and maybe he's on the Sixers before that. I can't remember which team he was on, but we played against him.
Yeah.
And I remember him just being an absolute menace to our guards.
Yeah. He's
stealing
good.
The ball, playing pesky defense. That's what I want from Jaden Springer if he's on our team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really watched a lot of him yet, but I don't know. What do you think about this? 3-year deal is kind of a lot.
Yeah, I feel like 3 years is a bit... to be honest, I just wish... I feel like Danny Ainge is playing his cards really close to the chest right now. We don't really know... Like, it feels like they have a plan, but it's not clear to anybody what the plan is. And so, like, it leads to us, like, cutting Jalen Hood-Schifino, who everybody thought would be good, and then we're signing guys like Jaden Springer to 3 years. So all of these moves seem a little odd, but I do like Jaden Springer a lot. I think he could be a good piece. Who knows? Maybe he'll be our next... guy we turn into rotation guy. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't hate it. I just think it's weird.
I also think we could easily just throw him in whatever trade.
That's true. Yeah. Gives us some capital. So, yeah.
We'll see.
That's true. Yeah. And our window for competing, I think, is still probably about 3 years out, in my opinion. Maybe 2. I don't know. Depending on who we what draft pick we get. But so we'll see what happens. But not bad.
And then how about the LA Lakers?
Oh my gosh.
They've been winning like almost. Actually, I think I saw they've won like 14 out of the last 16 or 12 out of the last 14 games.
Yeah.
Their only losses since All-Star break have been the Jazz and Hornets.
That's just pretty wild.
So whenever you see that stat that the Lakers have only lost twice, one of them was to the Jazz.
They're on an 8-game winning streak right now, 8-2 in their last 10.
Right.
Right,
I think Luka and LeBron both had like 30 against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that game.
Yeah. The West standings are kind of interesting right now. I think like 2 through 5 are all within a couple games of each other. the Thunder are like 12 games ahead of second place. They're just pretty solidly in first. But Lakers are the second seed right now. If the season ended today,
they jumped across the Nuggets. So
yeah, they're looking
nice. We didn't talk about the Lakers for contender or pretender, but what do you think? Are they contender or pretender? Right, as of right now, it could change. Right, as we get further.
Well, I will say I watched the end of the Knicks Lakers game, went to overtime. I think the Lakers could be a contender, honestly.
Really? Just from like this streak?
Well, I just like watching them. I think that they're really, Luka is doing a really good job of getting everybody involved. Luka's looking really nice himself, but like they had Gabe Vincent hitting good shots. They made Jackson Hayes look like he's like actually a good player. I mean, he's been pretty horrible up to this point, but like he's, you know, rim running and getting easy baskets. And even Austin Reeves has been playing better since Luka came. I think Luka just makes the game easier for people around him. That's what LeBron used to do before. I think LeBron's just running out of legs, but I don't know. I think they could be.
I believe in him a lot more than I did before the streak, right?
Yeah.
I still think I need to see a little more before I consider them a contender.
That's fair.
And I'm thinking the Nuggets and Thunder are going to give them a lot of trouble with their centers because Lakers traded AD. They don't really have a clear center.
That's true.
So Jokic is going to go to town. So I don't know. I think they could still beat those teams, but I just need to see more from them.
That's true.
This streak could be a fluke, right?
That's true.
So the rest of the season was a lot different. So
yeah.
I would still say pretender, but it's getting close for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I at least think they'll, they're not a quick out in the playoffs.
Yeah, they might be a win the West or get to the West Finals.
I can see him. Yeah, absolutely. Jokic, speaking of the Nuggets, I don't know if you saw last night, he had like 31, 21, and 22.
Holy cow.
He, as much as I love Shea, I think Jokic is the MVP. It's hard to see what this guy's doing. And like Shea is having such a special season, but like Jokic is just the best player in the world right now. And it's not really close in my opinion. It's pretty insane.
It's hard to beat Jokic stat-wise.
Yeah.
And like it's clear that if the Nuggets didn't have Jokic, they would suck.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And if the Thunder didn't have Shea, I still think they'd be decent.
I think they'd be
I don't know. At least they'd be better than the Nuggetless, Jokicless Nuggets.
Absolutely.
So it's, I don't know. If you're thinking about MVP in those terms, like it's always going to be Jokic just because he does so much for his team. His stats are insane.
Yeah. And if he won this year, would that be his fifth?
Fourth, right? I don't know. Because he won.
He went back to back.
Oh, finals MVP. I don't know if one of those.
Yeah, because he went back-to-back and they had one last year.
Yeah.
So he'd go back-to-back twice, which is crazy.
Four-time MVP. He's getting into like Kareem range at that point. I think he had like five or six.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but it looks like I think Shea still has like the odds on favorite. So more people are thinking Shea, but I'm totally with you. Like it's hard to go against Jokic and that game's a statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if Shea won it. I think he's having a special season.
Yeah. Also, your team's number one in the West too.
Yeah, honestly. I also just don't think that the MVP we've seen over the last years, it doesn't mean the best player in the world. It's more of a formality of who's having the most special season.
Yeah.
You could argue for Shea on it with that, honestly, so I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, and then the other side of that Lakers trade, the Mavericks are looking like they're in shambles.
Gosh.
Kyrie's out for the season. I think Lively and Gafford, they both got hurt. Like, Mavericks are probably going to be in the lottery now. Like, that's crazy how it could flip that quickly.
Yeah, I saw a thing Klay Thompson's dad was talking about, how he came to Dallas because he felt like he could get to the finals with Luka and Kyrie. And now all of a sudden, Klay is like their only source of like shooting. Like he's the guy now.
They traded away Quentin Grimes and now Quentin Grimes looks great.
Yep. So I don't know. I'm surprised Nico Harrison sells a job even at this point. It's pretty, do you think this is going to go down as the worst trade ever? Or do you think it's going to turn around?
I don't think it's going to turn around. I think you traded away like a top three player in the league.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose the trade every time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of one of those people that's like, I want to wait a year or two to see if there's like anything else going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Because like, it's hard for me to believe that Nico Harrison just made this trade and like the ownership or somebody else wasn't like involved, like kind of making him do it. Because I don't know. If I was a GM, there's no chance I'd trade away Luka as like our best player. Our fans love him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At least if I'm trying to win, maybe he's trying to do something else.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing for me, if I was a Mavs fan, that would be just kind of scary. They probably will get into the top 10. It looks like they're 13th for pick wise right now, and they'll keep dropping. But Kyrie MCL tear at 32, that's going to be tough.
That's
especially
a bad injury.
The way he plays. He's not a guy. I just don't think he's going to come back from that very good. And then Anthony Davis is never going to play consistently for more than 10 games.
The thing with AD is last season he played 70 games.
Yeah.
Now I'm concerned again because injury history is a real thing.
It is. He's getting older.
So it's going to be tough for the Mavericks.
That's pretty
especially
scary
with what's going on. They might have just started their rebuild.
Yeah, they might have. I think so. And they should have traded Klay at the deadline, I guess. Although they probably didn't know this.
Yeah, they didn't
know
all this. Yeah. I could still say, like, if I'm a Mavs fan, let's wait till everybody's healthy, at least convince ourselves that there will be a day when everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
And then see if we can get one more shot. Because this team still looks really good on paper.
Absolutely.
So maybe that'll be next season. I don't know how long it'll take for everyone to get up to strength, but I'd still try and give it one more shot and then go from there.
And I think I saw somebody say this week, Lakers need to build a Nico Harrison statue out front of the crypto.com arena, whatever it's called now. Right next to Kobe, I think. Perfect place.
Dude, they got such a gift.
Because he set them up, so it's pretty good. Well, March is upon us, as we mentioned.
The best time of year.
This is like Christmas for us. This is so awesome. I'm actually like I can't even sleep at night. Sometimes I'm like, dude, March Madness is almost here, a week away.
Yep.
But we wanted to spend this week and next week just kind of talking about, kind of like we did last year, some guys you might want to be watching out for. Mm-hmm. It could be Jazz picks or people Jazz might consider picking. So we got a couple guys that we think you should focus on.
And I guess a disclaimer too is we know the NBA mock draft right now, if you go Google it, it's going to change a lot. Absolutely. From now till June. There's still so much time.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to like pick out guys that we think are going to be in the range of where the Jazz picks are.
Yeah.
That being said, it's going to move around a lot. Some of these guys are going to do super well in March Madness. Some are foreign guys that don't even play it. Yeah. Some are maybe going to tank a little bit of their stock. But the goal here is we'll give you a couple names. Write them down, think about them, and then when you're watching March Madness, you can kind of be a little, kind of a, in a way, an NBA scout for the Jazz, kind of see some guys that you think the Jazz could gamble on.
Absolutely. And for this week and next week, we'll just focus on guys who are going to be in March Madness, but getting closer to the draft, we'll have plenty of time. We're going to talk about all the international guys. Yeah. And all the guys who aren't going to make the tournament. So.
And I think it's cool. A lot of the international guys are playing college basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Like Yegor Demin, right, from Russia.
Vesparis, Jesk, I don't know how to say
the dude on Illinois. From Lithuania.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
I think there's a guy on Iowa State from Europe, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't remember
his name. I don't know his name, but there's a lot of foreign guys playing in college basketball, and it's kind of just becoming the place for all the draft talent.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting when you think about like NBA guys like the Lucas and the Wembys, they didn't need college, so it makes me wonder why all of a sudden there's a switch to coming and playing college.
Yeah, but I think it might have to do something with NIL.
Yeah, that's true.
They probably want to get paid.
Make more money, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you start with one of your guys, and then I'll...
Yeah. So I guess I got two. The first guy we'll talk about is from Alabama. His name is LeBaron Filon.
Let's go. What's a sick name? LP.
His name looks like Filon, but think Pylon, yeah. Filon, right? That's how you say his name. And he's on Alabama. Alabama's probably going to be, I think, a 2 seed in the bracket. Mm-hmm. Is kind of what they're projecting right now. Yeah. So he'll definitely be in the tournament. They'll probably go pretty deep.
Yeah.
This guy, he's a freshman point guard, 6'4", 180 pounds. He's actually also from Alabama. So of course he'd go there. But here's a little bio I'll read. He says, high level point guard prospect who is fundamentally sound, makes good decisions with the ball and a solid one-on-one ability, has a feel for getting into the lane as a crafty finisher, has good passing and court vision, although is not a pure point guard, still is developing his feel for running the offense. Isn't the biggest player, but still has a strong frame and solid athleticism, allowing him to hold his own guarding ones and twos. His length is rangy, wiry athlete, not seems overly explosive verticality, but plenty of athletic juice for the NBA game. So that's LeBaron Filon. And then I'll also say he's only averaging 10 points a game at Alabama, but he's shooting pretty efficiently from 30%, 3.5 assists, 3 rebounds. And I think what a lot of people like about this guy is the way that he scores is pretty effortless.
Yeah.
Like he can take guys off the dribble pretty well. He's pretty shifty getting to the rim. And he's definitely like a point guard type. He's still kind of getting better at dishing the ball out, but he's scoring wise, I think he's got that down.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't have a comparison listed for him. I would say, this was kind of hard. He kind of looked like a Paul George to me. Mm. Not as tall as Paul George, but like he's got a really good handle.
Yeah.
He takes tough shots and makes tough shots. That's kind of what I was thinking when I was watching him.
Yeah.
But that's LeBaron Filon. He'll be in March Madness a lot. So I think, I guess in terms of fit for the Jazz, he'd have to be our point guard. So maybe he'd play alongside Keontae. He kind of plays the same position as Isaiah. So that might not be the best fit if we're trying to go with Isaiah, but... I mean, if this guy's on the board and we don't have any other forwards, it might be a good pick for us.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think Jazz fit's just tough right now. So it's kind of like, it's hard to know what the Jazz need, but all I know is that we need a star. So
yeah, we need a star. And if he's that guy, sure.
We'll take it. We'll fit him wherever, honestly. So I love that. Well, my first guy, weirdly enough, I saw one mock draft had him at 6 in the draft. One had him at 34. So I'm not sure where he will actually be drafted, but here we're talking about Boogie Fland, Arkansas.
What a name, by the
way. I know, that's a sick name, Boogie Fland. I wonder what his actual first name. Well, maybe it is Boogie. I don't know, but I love it. Boogie Fland. He's 18 years old, a freshman at Arkansas. Really something that impressed me. He's 6'2", 175, but he's really quick. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like a De'Aaron Fox type.
Okay.
Maybe more of a ceiling there, but I think he's a pretty good shooter. His assist to turnover ratio is pretty good. He takes care of the ball. As far as his age goes, I think that's another plus in his pro, I guess, is... Yeah, the Jazz are looking more long-term. We're not really looking for guys to plug and play right away. We have time to develop a little bit. He doesn't foul very often. He shoots pretty good from the three. I think he's 37%, which is pretty good for college.
That's very good for college, yeah.
Yeah, takes about 5 threes a game. Let me see. He also gets a steal and a half a game, which I think is really solid.
Do you think he'd be like a guy that'd run the offense?
I think he could, yeah. I think one thing that would make it tough, he takes some tough shots. And right now he makes them because he's one of the better college players, but in the NBA, it makes me wonder if he would make those shots or if he would even be allowed to take those shots. So I think there's some big question marks there on his like efficiency with the shots, but I really love how long and athletic he is. He can get to the rim. Just overall, there's a lot of upside there. I think that there's a lot you could do with him if he got the right training.
Oh, yeah. And I think if we got him his name, he'd be a fan favorite from his name alone.
I'm buying a Boogie Fland jersey. And I want it to say Boogie Fland. I don't want it to say Fland. So, but yeah, fit-wise, it's same story. Who knows? That might just make the point guard rotation a little crazier, but I don't know. It could, if he's good enough, we'll take him. So
yeah. And it looks like Arkansas is pretty solidly in the bracket as like an 11 seed.
Yeah, SEC's got quite a few teams this
year. So as long as they don't lose their next couple games, they should be in. And so we'll be able to see him in the first round, maybe upset a team, because I think they definitely have the power to do that.
Absolutely.
And then my next guy is Jeremiah Fears from Oklahoma.
This guy
is very good.
Another SEC boy.
SEC guy. There's a lot of those this year, it seems like. But I'll read his bio. It says, Fears has flown up draft boards this year and is on pace to be a mid-first-round pick in 2025. So maybe with our Timberwolves pick, we could get this guy.
That's not bad.
He's a 6'4 point guard from Chandler, Arizona. He's fast, slipper, and slick ball-handling guard who can really penetrate the lane and excels at drawing contact and finishing tough shots. He's got a really nice feel for the game and plays with great change of pace. He's not the most bursty or athletic guard in the world, but his change of pace and knack for getting the paint are special. Has work to do with his outside shot. He's a capable three-point shooter, but is not yet consistent from downtown. He's got solid size for a lead guard, although his listed height of 6'4 is probably generous.
Interesting.
And I don't think he's declared for this draft, too, so it's possible he could go to next year. He's only a freshman, probably 18 or 19-year-old. But he's pretty good. I watched his highlights, and it seems like he does have a really good feel for playmaking in the NBA. He knows how to find the open man and run the offense pretty well. Most of Oklahoma's offense goes through him.
Yeah.
And then he finishes through contact. He gets to the paint a lot because he doesn't have the best outside shot. He's gotten pretty good at getting to the paint.
Yeah.
And so I would say his fit with the Jazz could still be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz do lack, now that Isaiah Collier is probably our only real playmaking guy. And so I think Jeremiah Fears would be a great bench point guard for us, because I think we're still lacking that.
Yeah.
Right now we have Keontae off the bench, but he's more of a scoring guard. And so I think that's where his fit would be, probably a bench point guard. He'd be able to come in with energy, run the offense well, and kind of help guys find guys in the right spots. And then again, he's also a pretty good scorer himself too.
And I think if we found that guy, we could even, that would almost like give us permission to move on from Colin Sexton. Not that I want to, but I think that's kind of the role Colin Sexton plays a little. He's just an energy guy, comes out on the floor. I guess he's not a great playmaker, but he does just make things happen on the floor.
Yeah.
And so if we wanted to, you know, find a better rotation there, we could easily replace him there.
Yeah, and I also think he does average 1.5 steals a game, which is pretty good. So he's not a terrible defender.
That's not bad.
He's got the frame to at least guard like ones and twos. And then his free throw percentage is pretty good. So I think that's usually a good sign. Like if they can hit free throws, he does 85%. That usually means they can develop a three-point shot. But not always. But so I think he could definitely get a pretty consistent three. But yeah, he'd probably be off the bench for the Jazz. And then Oklahoma's kind of on the bubble of the bracket right now.
Yeah.
So let's hope, just so we can see this guy play, that they make it in. As of right now, they are the one of the last four in. Yeah. So let's hope they get in there.
Well, the last guy we'll talk about in this episode, Texas Tech, JT Toppin, 6'9" power forward. Let's go. I think they're pretty solidly three seed in the tournament right now. Texas Tech's been pretty good this year. A good program. JT Toppin, though, second year in college. I think he's the only sophomore we've talked about.
Yeah.
Those guys are freshmen, but he played at New Mexico State last year, which is a good, you know, mid-major program. And then transferred to Texas Tech, and he's been their leading scorer this year, I believe. He's got 18 points a game, 9 rebounds a game. He shoots 56% from the floor. Not super, doesn't stretch the floor a lot. He does take about a three a game, so he's probably pretty okay from three. Something that impressed me watching some of his tape, I think he's a pretty good on-ball defender. He can protect the rim decently. He averages a block, a little over a block a game, gets a steal a game. So I think he's pretty versatile. And in my opinion, I think, as far as guys we've talked about, I think he might be the best fit with the Jazz. He's 6'9", 225, really long arms. Probably the most traditional power forward in the draft. I think he could plug in with the Jazz pretty decently, especially if we could get Lowry to play the three if we wanted to, or he could just back up Lowry. So I think he could be.
Do you think he could play the three?
Yeah, maybe. 6'9". He puts the ball on the floor pretty good, so he probably could. He'd probably have to learn to take some more threes, I think. That would be the tough. Our spacing would be a little off if we had him at the three, but it's possible. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I think he's Obi Toppin's brother.
Yeah, younger brother. Yeah.
Right, so he's got that NBA blood in him.
That's true.
And then, they're Texas Tech's like a three seed. They'll definitely be in there, so you could definitely watch JT Toppin play.
Yeah, and he's had a couple really good games this year, 41 against Arizona State, 30 last night against Colorado. I guess those are not great Big 12 teams right now, but he has the skills to pop off here and there, so we'll
take it. Yeah, for sure.
We will take it.
So I guess that, a real little recap, look out for Boogie Fland on Illinois, right?
It's Arkansas.
Arkansas, that's right. Yeah. Boogie Fland from Arkansas, he'll be in there. JT Toppin from Texas Tech. Jeremiah Fears from Oklahoma, and the Baron Filon from Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Those will be some guys that the Jazz could definitely take a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Some exciting players. We'll see which one is the hero of March.
Yeah.
There's always
Richie Saunders.
I think it might be Richie Saunders. I'm excited. I think he's going to be good. That takes us to local sports, of course. Maybe since we're talking about college basketball, we'll start with the Cougs. Tonight we play the Utes here in Provo. This is our first
home closer, right? Last home game.
I think this is my first time being a student here that we played Utah here in Provo. It's pretty high, dude. I think
I know.
Our student ticket claim opens in a little over an hour, and I think it's going to be, we're going to have to be locked in for 5 minutes.
I think 5 minutes, it's going to probably sell out, so it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll agree. I guess Utah wasn't in the Big 12 till this year.
Yeah.
We didn't really play them that much, at least in Provo for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, they just got a new coach. I don't know if you saw that Alex Jensen, former Jazz assistant. Yeah,
I think he went to the Mavericks.
I think he's on the Mavericks, yeah.
He got out just at the right time.
For the Mavericks, yeah. But yeah, the state of Utah being run by former NBA assistants is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Utah's overachieving this year. I think I'm kind of surprised they fired Craig Smith when they did, because I think that they're doing a little better than they were.
Yeah, he was in no way a bad coach. He was actually doing pretty good.
So there must be more to the story. But Cougs on a 7-game win streak. Could be 8 tonight. I think if we beat Utah, we'll lock in a double bye for the Big 12 tournament, which is huge.
Right.
I think if we lose, we'll be tied with Iowa State, which I think we might still have the tiebreaker. I'm not sure how the tiebreaker works, but I would think
it'd be a lot better just get a win.
Yeah, let's just get the dub. So, and then Utah Hockey Club split their games this week, 28-25 and 10. I'm not sure what the
ceiling
wild
of card's
looking
is.
Like, but I saw they made a trade last night. We re-signed Veggie for 5 years. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
So that's hype. We love Veggie over here.
I guess I'll look at the standings again.
Yeah.
Still 3 points out of the wild card.
Out. Yeah.
It's actually a pretty close race. There's two teams that are 1 point out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the ceiling of this team is. I don't know if we'll just be on the bubble of the wild card all season and not make it.
It's going to be tough.
Might be what happens, but at least I think we have a good, solid group of guys to build off of.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it is. We just need some more firepower.
Yeah. And honestly, we're so privileged. First year in Utah, and we're talking about the playoffs, even if we're 3 points out.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, we're above average, I'd say.
Absolutely. Lots to be excited about. Thank you so much for joining us in our episode today. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've been talking about March Madness, guys. College guys to look out for. We did a couple last week, or one last week. If you check those out, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope that you take care. Peace.